The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have you on board for the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And I have a special guest here on the podcast in set here at Trophy Lakes prior to the Malibu Open. It is none other than Cole McCormick. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you, Tony?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all, as a matter of fact. So, Malibu Open starts tomorrow as we're recording this. You've had some pretty good finishes so far in some major slaloming tournaments. How do you reckon your season has gone up to this point?
I think it's gone pretty well for the most part. I think a couple of tournaments earlier on I could have done a little better, but for the most part I'm pretty happy. I'm, you know, excited for these next three or four tournaments and really looking forward to putting it out there.
Okay, it almost seems like yesterday, as a matter of fact, you know, that you suddenly stood up to be taken notice of. Cole McCormick out there on the water, like running butter smooth 39 and a half off and getting into 41. I mean, kind of give us a little bit of an idea of the series of events that it took to get to the level to where you're at right now.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't always the best slalom skier. When I was a kid, I was more known for a trick skier. You know, my dad was great teaching me tricks when I was young, so I shot up and was tricking, you know, mid 5,000 points from when I was in boys one, boys two, you know, so I was really good at tricking young, and jumping came pretty easy for me too. Slalom was never an easy thing for me. I don't know why. I mean, I could run... I think by the time I went to college, I could run, I think my PB was 1:38. But I was kind of, I'd hit that plateau. I'd been stuck there for like a year or so. And then I went to school and started skiing more and skiing with people telling me the same thing in different ways. And that just kind of set it off for me. And I started skiing better and better. And I picked up two passes in 2 years, and then the third year, then I ran, you know, started, you know, getting deeper down the line at 41 in practice. It was kind of incredible how fast I picked it up.
Okay, you alluded upon your collegiate skiing escapades a little bit. You skied for the Moccasins of Florida Southern College, is that correct?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so what was that experience like? Because for a lot of people that are listening to this podcast, I mean, there are a few that will actually certainly gel with their collegiate water skiing experiences because they've done it themselves. But those that are listening to this from outside the country or are fairly new to the sport, kind of give us a little bit of an idea of the dynamic that is collegiate skiing, at least from your perspective.
Collegiate skiing was a lot of fun for me. I honestly didn't even know it existed until Roger Scalco recruited me my senior year in school. I was at a tournament my spring semester, and he's like, "Have you, you know, decided where you're going to go to college yet?" And I'm like, "No, I was kind of thinking about Liberty because they said they have a lake and a boat on campus, and maybe I can ski there." And he's like, "Well, we have a ski team." I'm like, "You have a ski team? What?" I had no idea collegiate skiing was a thing. And so I just, I jumped on the offer, and that's kind of how I became a Moccasin. And it seriously is like the most fun 4 years of my life, like, you know, going to tournaments with all your friends. And I, you know, it kind of like you have a whole team to back you up. So if you have an off day, your friends are probably going to have a good day. And so if you ski bad, you don't, I feel like you don't feel quite as bad because you have your friends to lift you up. It's super fun.
What's the expression? A bad day at the lakeshore beats a good day at work, I guess.
That's absolutely right, Tony.
Okay, work-wise, tell us a little bit about what you do work-wise, because being out there in the water doesn't pay the bills, does it?
It does not, unfortunately. I'm a software engineer. I work for IGT. They make scratch-off tickets for the lottery kind of all over the world. We do stuff for Slovakia, for Texas, for Indiana, for Thailand, for France, kind of everywhere. But I write the algorithms for the scratch-off tickets.
Is there anything you can tell me about those scratch-offs where I can win a few bucks?
I will tell you, just don't play them. they're kind of rigged just to keep you on the string and keep you playing, but the odds of you making money are pretty low. So,
do you don't have any ethical qualms about that, I guess?
No, I'm not really supposed to. I can't really, because of my contract, I can't really tell you, you know, how to win or anything like that. But I just wouldn't play them. It's not worth it.
Okay, that's some good advice for all of you boys and girls out there. Don't try them. All right, then. So let's go back a little bit to your skiing a little bit. I mean, you've had some pretty extraordinary runs. I mean, last year's Swiss Pro Slalom made it through to the finals. Almost got tangled up in the rope as far as I can remember. Now, being as hardcore as your slaloming and everyone else's slaloming, are you mindful of the risks that you take every time you hit the water whenever you come into a pass like 41 off?
I'm definitely mindful of the risks when I come into the pass, but I have a pretty competitive mindset. Like, it's very, very hard for me to turn off, you know, going for the next buoy, keeping going. You know, I can still make this. I can still run it. Like, even in practice, I probably take some hits and some crashes that I shouldn't even be thinking about taking just because it's hard for me to turn that side off. I actually took a crash last week and I got a little bit of whiplash, but it's
wow.
we're okay now.
All right, tell us a little bit about your ski, because I mean the LaPointe brand is a relatively new brand to the market. The designer of the LaPointe brand, I mean, I don't think we can describe him as new and onto the scene, because he's been designing skis since God was a baby, you know. But I mean, tell us a little bit about the LaPointe brand and how the man himself is helping to influence your skiing through his design.
Yeah, so back in 2019, I was, you know, after the Worlds in Malaysia, I was struggling with my skiing a little bit, and Chris said, hey, I'm going to make a ski and it's going to be ready in November. I want you to try it. And I was, you know, I was super excited because I went to ski out with Chris quite a bit, for the past, you know, 2 years prior to that. And he had really, you know, helped me like learn how to tune my ski up a little bit here and there. And I had a better feel for what was going on in that department. But I, you know, I tried his ski and it was I've run 39 on every ski. He's made me soft, stiff, you know, like ugly looking, whatever. Like it's just a really good ski. He kind of decided to build the ultimate zero off ski. You know, it's quite wide under the front foot and then has a big sweet spot on it. And then it's got a bunch of rocker in the back. So what happens is, you know, a lot of times when we're at our short line lengths, we tend to get in deep at the buoys, and that's, you know, with zero off, that's not ideal, because when you get in deep, you spike the boat and the boat starts beating you up. So what he's done with this ski, it kind of disperses the load out. So when you get in deep, you don't really get in deep. It just shoots you out of the turn and keeps you moving through the turn. So you're able to get away with a lot more stuff that you never used to be able to because of the extra width of the ski.
Yeah, that's interesting so far as that is concerned, because, I mean, like Chris LaPointe has toyed with enough designs on his slalom ski. In fact, he's been known to actually take a bandsaw and actually slice down the middle of the slalom of one ski and then do the same with another and glue them together to make an asymmetrical slalom ski. As a matter of fact, back in his LaPointe O'Brien days, there was something called an asymmetrical slalom ski, which I'm sure that he had a great influence of. I mean, have you ever tried anything like that in amongst your testing?
I've never tried an asymmetrical one like that, but I for a good part of this year, I was riding a Frankenstein, so to speak, that he made, that it was one of the first, ones out of the mold. So it looked really, really ugly. And he had a bunch of carbon patches on it to make it stiffer. And, but it's one of the better skis he's made me, honestly, which is, it's crazy. That's, something that doesn't look so pretty can ski so amazing. But whenever you can fine tune it like that, you get a ski out of the mold, and then you can fine tune the stiffness right afterwards, or fine tune the width, or change this one side or the other, it makes testing a ski out much easier in that sense.
Excellent. So obviously you expanded upon the whole ugliness so far as design is concerned. Let's go towards beauty and beautiful slalom style, which we saw a lot of courtesy of your mum. Yeah. Susan McCormick from way back in the day, when she was, working her way through tour titles and all that kind of stuff, So how much of an influence has she had or continue to have upon your slalom skiing going forward?
She always taught me from a young age. I think this is probably where I got, my competitiveness from, but she would always yell at me anytime I gave up on a pass. She's like, what are you doing? You could have run that. And, she really, taught me to never count myself out and be aggressive and be confident and, go out there like, you're going to win the tournament, because that's what you have to do when you want to win tournaments. Slalom skiing. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned from my mom, and even Lucky too. Lucky and my mom, Lucky taught my mom a lot of stuff way back when. And so
I saw a lot of that because I was actually at Lucky Ski School at the time, riding in the boat and what have you. So it's more about a more positive and a more aggressive mindset that she instilled upon you rather than the more technical side of skiing.
She's taught me a lot of technique stuff too, obviously. Like I feel like I have a very, stacked position behind the boat compared to a lot of people. And I think that's a lot because of how my mom told me how to, ride the ski behind the boat. She, told me very early on that, you got to be strong behind the boat and you can't let the boat beat you. And, so I think I got a lot of that from her. And she, if you remember watching, she was never, ever one to give up. And,
oh, no.
Yeah. Like Wade Cox told me he'd always watch her before he went out and skied at a tournament. And he knew whether it was hard or easy out there based on how my mom skied,
Yeah, that's interesting and very, very true. As a matter of fact, I saw a number of Pro Tour stops, where a lot of the guys were actually seeing the likes of Dina Mapple and Camille Duval and Susie McCormick go out there on the water, and they paid a lot more attention to what Susie was doing out in the water rather than the elegance that Camille and Dina, well, or a lesser extent Dina, I guess, but where I was going with that.
Yeah, well, my mom was always the person, she had a very, very good technique, but if she ever she was probably the best scrapper you'll ever see in your life when it comes to slaloming. Like she, would get down course and then she would just bear down and keep going, and she could always hang on to everything. Steve Bush, the coach of Team Canada, told me that she has the record for the highest grip strength on Team Canada ever. Actually, she still does.
Wow.
It's probably from taking all the hits and stuff that she used to
do. No clinchers either.
No clinchers. Yeah, that's all forearm power, baby.
All right, then. You mentioned Steve Bush, and that was going to roll into my next question. I think we actually, you're actually reading my mind. You're going to be representing Team Canada, I believe, or are you going to be skiing as an individual at the Worlds?
I'm not actually on Team Canada. I believe Team Canada this year is Ryan, Whitney, Dorian, Paige, Neely, and Taryn, I think, are the six representatives this
Solid
year.
Solid team.
Yeah, because, you want to take, they can only take one single eventer and put them on the team, I believe, because you have to have, a certain amount of scores from each event.
Uh-huh.
And so Ryan, since he's like the top echelon, he gets the individual spot. But I'm going to be representing Canada as an individual.
All right, then. So Well, we've covered quite a lot of ground in the last 15 minutes. I certainly thank you for being a participant in this podcast. Now, is there any parting words that you'd like to tell your fans, friends, family, whoever's influenced you and gotten you to where you are today?
I want to thank everyone for their support. You know, Curtis Rabe, when I was at school, he was a big help to me and my parents, and obviously Chris Lapointe has been instrumental in my slalom skiing the past couple years, and I can't thank him enough. Everyone should go try his ski.
All right, then. That was Cole McCormick. I'm Tony Lightfoot. This has been the latest episode of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.